Today's reading is from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. A nice long one. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them the ability. Now there were devout Jews from every people under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native tongue? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They are filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, 'Fellow Jews and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Amen. Thank you, Lisa. You did great with all those names. Well, yesterday I went over to Perkins Park. They had this bounce fest going on. When any kids go there? There was bounce houses and everything. Were you there? So they were classic cars that they had. And I don't know anything about mechanics, people. Just know that. But I like cars. I don't care what's under the hood. I just kind of like the way they look. And I just, you know, every time I look at classic cars, my favorite are like 70s long boats. Those are my favorite. Like a 76 Cadillac Eldorado. That would be my dream car. But it's, in years gone by, they took so much, it took so much to do it, you know. Now I just hop in my Volkswagen and I just like push the brake and I push the button and the thing turns on. But decades ago, it took, I mean, starting up was a major step deal. I mean, you had to, adjust the clutch and you had to, move all these things. And then even the Model T, you had to crank it. And it was like, it was physically dangerous back in the day to even start your car. And now they've made it so easy that you really don't even have to think about it. You know, those of us who learn to drive a car using a stick shift, we know how involved a person must be when you operate a motor vehicle. You're not able to text and all. You've got to be fully involved with the car. It's your legs, it's your arms, it's your mouth. Everything has to go in the right direction in order to run a car that takes a stick. It's easy to forget these days, or at least to take for granted, what it takes to keep a car moving. Thank God for mechanics, because when your car doesn't start by just pushing the button, it takes the big leagues. You know, our world is full of inconveniences that we often take for granted until we need them. When we need light, we flip on a switch. When we need heat, we adjust the thermostat. We're connected to the world at the touch of a button. We use AI without little effects of the data centers and the harm of the environment and all of that. We live in a push-button world, and we often take for granted the power that is behind the scenes. Well, today is the day of Pentecost, and this is when we celebrate the power of God, and it's something really that we often take for granted behind the scenes. One way that we may understand the Holy Spirit is the presence of God that is moving and working in our world. Now, although we can't see God like we see one another, we can know that God is among us because we feel his presence with us and we see his Spirit moving among us in the world. It's like the wind that's moving out, you know, it's like the wind that moves outside. You can't see it, you can't catch it, you really can't touch it, but you can feel it and you can, by gosh, you can know its effects. The Holy Spirit is part of the Holy Trinity of God. God is three persons, but one entity. God is the Father, God is the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, Pentecost happens 50 days after Easter. 50 comes from a variant of a Greek word that means the 50th day. In the time of Jesus, Pentecost was a major Jewish holiday, a big festival, where folks came from all over the world giving their best and their first grain offering. The thought was, is if they gave their first and their best to God, that God would bless them in their harvest. Pentecost now is informally known as the birthday of the church, because it was here that the church, when the Holy Spirit came upon the believers as they were gathered on that first Pentecost, the Holy Spirit allowed them to do amazing things that they weren't able to do before. Now, one may see the book of Acts as the sequel to the Gospels. Luke wrote the book of Acts, and Luke tells us it's kind of the rest of the story, what happened after Jesus ascended and you know, after he rose from the dead. Luke tells us on Pentecost, there was the sound of a blowing violent wind and what looked like tongues of fire that rested upon each of them. Then people who only spoke one language were blessed with the ability of speaking in different languages so that everybody there could understand the gospel. These would have been languages that Lisa so astutely pronounced, but I'll just say it easier for me. I get the easier end of the deal, like Latin, Aramaic, Egyptian, Parthian. And Luke tells us because of their newfound multilingualism that they were able to share the gospel to everyone that had gathered. Now, in my studies this week, several commentators compared this event on Pentecost to the story of Babel back in the Old Testament book of Genesis. Some of you are familiar. After the flood, people thought they were going to build a grand skyscraper that would stretch to the heavens so that people for miles would come and see it. And God became angry at their waywardness and pride, and so during its building, he confused them, and they started to speak in all different languages. The result was that the tower never got built, and it crumbled into oblivion. Well, this is the Bible's answer for, really kind of the Bible's answer for how we got all these different languages in the world, among other things. And it's also about the disunity that we have, that seems to have existed since the beginning of time. Some people see what happened here at Pentecost as the bookend, as the opposite of Babel. Rather than being distracted from God and misunderstanding one another and being confused and all of that, instead on Pentecost, believers were brought together. It was unity. They were brought together by the Holy Spirit. They were given the power of cooperation. And gosh, they were enabled to do some things that they had never believed they could do. When we keep our eye on Jesus and receive his Holy Spirit in our lives, we too are enabled to do things that we hadn't dreamed of before, that we're able to share the love of God with those who are different than us. And I truly believe that when we feel unity and cooperation, that's one element of the Holy Spirit. Like what happened at Babel, though, all these languages being spoken confused the believers and speakers that had gathered there. What was happening had never happened before. It did not seem very logical. And some even made fun of the disciples. They said this looked like it was happy hour that was growing happier by the hour, literally. But it was only 9 o'clock in the morning. And that's when Peter began to say, no, all of this had been prophesied before. And he quoted the prophet Joel from the Old Testament, that God will pour out his Holy Spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Men and women, they shall prophesy, young and old. This is what happens when we seek and feel the Holy Spirit among us, all become ministers of the love and the grace of Jesus Christ. Well, one of the miracles of Pentecost is the Holy Spirit came upon the believers miraculously. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit that day really changed how they lived their faith. They were finally emboldened. They recognized Jesus and they in the presence of God in ways they hadn't before. They were one with each other, at least for that moment. They would not always be, but at least for that moment of that coming of the Holy Spirit, they were. Before Pentecost, they were timid and afraid. Remember just a few weeks ago, we talked about how the disciples after the resurrection were still locked behind locked doors. They were timid and afraid. They were unsure about their calling and really unsure if Jesus was going to live out his promises. And now, though at Pentecost, they boldly realized that God had given them gifts to step out and to preach the good news to all nations. You see, when believers know that God has touched our lives, their lives were never the same again, and it showed. Once God began using them and giving them abilities, their eyes were opened, and the world's eyes were opened all around them to God's deeds of power, and there was no turning back. Well, if you read on past our reading, you'll see how the believers' lives were changed. They still struggled. But their lives were really truly changed after this moment. It was really a watershed moment. In verse 22, Luke reminds us that Jesus did many miracles among us through himself. And as you read on through the book of Acts, you see how ordinary people did extraordinary things through the power of Jesus. People like Stephen, who was stoned for distributing food to the poor, but only after he spoke truth to power. People like Saul, who persecuted Stephen and became Paul in a miraculous conversion. People like Barnabas and more. The book of Acts is filled with the Holy Spirit coming upon people and really amazing miracles happened. When we look for and when we are blessed by the Holy Spirit in all of its different ways, in large ways and in small ways, we can become a changed people, a changed church. We can be forgiven and empowered to be the people that God has called us to be. And a lot of times we think that the Holy Spirit comes upon us. These gifts aren't just major, you know, that was a major thing. But really, I think metaphorically, as Hudson said earlier, I think this shows us of all the ways that we're able to speak God in every language. All the ways that whenever we're able to finally share God's love and have a breakthrough, that's really speaking God's love in every language. And that is really the gist of what's happening here. If you ask our Pentecostal sisters and brothers, they'll tell you that we can know when the Holy Spirit strikes. Of course, the manifestation is a little bit different. Pentecostal friends, and they are related to us in a certain Methodist in our lineage of faith. They believe that there's this very special way that you can be touched by the Holy Spirit, and that's speaking in tongues. It's a Holy Spirit language. Pentecostals see this as a second baptism, one that all believers should strive to achieve as evidence of God's power in their life. It's this scripture that shows them that's evidence of God working in your life. Now, United Methodist, we don't quite see that. This scripture in that way. We don't believe that God would give us a language that somebody else has to interpret or that's unique. We believe exactly what happened in this scripture is that God enables us, gives us gifts to speak the language of love and grace, the gospel, so that all people around us can understand it. And that may be different languages. This could be different generations. This could be different cultures and situations. When God enables us to speak his language of love to others, this is Pentecost. God, through the Holy Spirit, allows us to speak in ways that we can precisely know and understand, and that others can know and understand God's love for their life. God tears down walls that humans have built. God enables us to share his love to the least and the lost so that we can know his deeds of power. What our Pentecostal friends do teach us is that God's Holy Spirit is still moving and breathing among us and his church. And historically, Methodists have believed in this power of the Holy Spirit all the way back to our founder, John Wesley. You see, in 1738, in a building in Aldersgate Street in London, England, John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, reluctantly attended a revival meeting. How many of us have reluctantly gone, but then something happens? About 8:45, he wrote in his journal, his heart was strangely warmed, and he became sure of his salvation, that God had forgiven his sins, that he had been freed from sin and death. Speaking of which, I should probably ask us, and we should probably ask ourselves once in a while, if we have assurance of our salvation. Doesn't mean if you're sure of heaven, and doesn't mean if you have everything all figured out, but John Wesley and a lot of the founders of the faith will tell us that we can and should work toward knowing that God has truly forgiven us by the power of his death on the cross. It's possible that we can feel it in our hearts that God know that we know that. Do you have a personal, ongoing, and faithful relationship with Jesus? Do you walk with him every day? And do you trust in his grace alone? Do you give grace to others? These are signs of salvation. The Holy Spirit, that's what helps us to be assured of these things. And some days we're going to have good days and we're going to know it and feel it. And at other days, we're going to question and we're going to be longing and looking for it. But when we feel it and know it, when we feel that grace and when we share it, when we have forgiveness and we feel it for ourselves and offer it to others, that's a sign of salvation. And I just would encourage you, you know, often that prayer, Jesus, come into my heart, it's not just a one-time deal. I pray that thing every day, sometimes more times than one. Lord, come into my heart. God, guide me. Lord, show me the way. You've heard that prayer from me. But a lot of times I will say, Jesus, come into my heart. And I think it's just a good prayer to get in the habit of praying every day. God, forgive me and set me on a right path with you. And yet the Spirit of God is not only comforting as well throughout the totality of the biblical witness, the Spirit of God is also restless too. Remember, God came to Job in a whirlwind and Elijah in a chariot of fire. And in Acts chapter 2 in fire, and fire makes us nervous. It's a spirit that can be unsettling. The Holy Spirit of God propels us and excites us to act and bring the gospel, sometimes in ways that, well, we're unsure of. Sometimes in ways that scare us. If we really are in tune to the Holy Spirit, we're going to have things that can make us go, God, what? You want us to do what? I'm scared of that. You know, this is the Holy Spirit invites us to share God's love to those who are different than us. Not only from a different country, but another culture or persuasion. The Holy Spirit calls some of us to go on mission trips and in foreign environments. And the Holy Spirit calls and unites and works through us and despite us sometimes to share God's love. So in our scripture today, the Holy Spirit both called and empowered believers to transcend all their differences. Men and women proclaim the gospel. And as we know in the Bible, to mention women doing something, this is telling us that all people, young and old, people from all different places and languages heard it. And we can know that we've encountered the Holy Spirit when we share the good news of God who loves us beyond measure, to those who are like us and those who are different than us, who are black and white and straight and gay and liberal, conservative, and where everyone is united together in God's love and knows that there is a kingdom of God for all of us. Well, when the believers got together on that first Pentecost, they knew that the workings and ways of God weren't in their hands. And I think that's the most powerful thing of Pentecost, is a God whose ways are not our ways, a God who, like the wind, is out of control, who isn't confined in the ways of the world, who isn't confined to a box that we put God in. And I think that's probably the most powerful thing of a Holy Spirit. So, and today it may seem like the ground that you are on is unsettling. But the good news today and the good news of Pentecost is we have a God who is with us, a God who is moving and breathing in our lives and is helping us to grow into the people that he calls us to be, helping our church and also stretching us and calling us into new places for new people, to share the language of grace and love to folks that are like us and especially who are different than us, who calls us to go out into our world and look for, well, those who aren't in our pews today. The Holy Spirit will guide us and lead us, and gosh, it's a task, especially in this world today. The task is before us, but God is before us. Like in the Old Testament, God would lead the people through a pillar of fire. And it's God who goes the way before us. And so that's my prayer, is that we'll rely upon and look for the God, that Phoenix Spirit, who is guiding and leading us as the disciples, as a church, as families, and in all ways of our lives, so that we are pushed and transformed and changed to the Spirit of God. God is always guiding and leading and transforming. And so may we know this very day that God is with us and leading us and changing us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray. Loving God, we give you thanks that you are always with us. And Lord, we feel your power today. Lord, that power sometimes is a spark. And sometimes it is great and mighty. Lord, open our eyes to how you are with us. And open our hearts that we may let you change us and the world for the better. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.